Good morning, everyone.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. It's great to have you here today. A nice, bright, sunny day. Sometime the temperature will get to the same sunniness that we have. A couple announcements today. One is the deacons. Next week is the last week for providing donations to the food pantry. We really appreciate what everyone's done so far. That's very nice of everyone to do that. Also, a reminder of the slices in Sacred Stories. We had our second meeting this last week, had 17 people there. It was a very nice event. And again, this Wednesday we'll have another event there. Hope you can make it out at 6:30 in the CE building, get some pizza and hear some stories. Also, next week is the congregational meeting, and we're going to go over the audited reports and church membership. In the back are copies of the reports. You can pick one up today or pick one up next week. And also, one great hour sharing bulletins that are in your bulletin today, handout. So please take a look at that and consider giving. Any other announcements? Okay, with that, we turn over to Tom.
Good morning, precious children of God. It is so good that we are here together on this day. At this time of year, I often remember the words from the Song of Songs. You familiar with that Old Testament book? It's love poetry. If you're not into love poetry, you probably don't read that one, but if you are, this is how one of the, it begins in the second chapter. He says, or she says, "My lover spoke to me and said to me, 'Arise, my darling.'" Isn't that nice? That's sweet, isn't it? "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me." Well, that's sweet, isn't it? Not only the language of the love between the two, but the celebration of this very sweet time of the year, spring. How sweet spring is, as we look forward to the renewal of the earth and all of the beauty that comes with it. So let us worship in the beauty of holiness in this place on this Lord's Day. Let us call one another to worship. "Bless the Lord, my soul.
With all my being, I bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and forget none of his benefits.
He pardons all my wrongdoings and heals all my ills. He rescues me from death's pit and crowns me with love and compassion.
Bless the Lord, my soul.
With all my being, I bless God's holy name."
If you're able, please rise and let us all join together in song as we praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Let us join together in our prayer confession. God, forgive our sin and guide us into right paths. God, forgive our sin and guide our feet into the way of peace. Guide our hands to care for others. Guide our hearts to love our neighbors. Call us back to you, O Christ, and renew our faith and put us back on the right paths by doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with you. The ancient prophet Jeremiah, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sin no more. Thanks be to God. We share now the witness to what we believe in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Give your greeting and blessing to one another.
Jesus knows no
We gather our hearts together in prayer this day, remembering to pray for one another and for the world. There'll be a moment of silence during the spoken prayer for you to lift up the names of these who are mentioned today and others perhaps on your heart as well. We give thanks today, prayers of thanks for Tweety and successful surgery there for her. We give thanks that Dan's prostate surgery went well, always good to hear. May healing continue. And Pat Apple, prostate problems, please lift her up today as we pray. And we're grateful for those who are doing better. I mentioned last week Justin Mazur, and he is doing better. Karen, his mother here on your left. Let's remember Barb Krause's brother, who's facing medical challenges. We're grateful that Sherry and Audrey are on the healing path. Audrey may be here next Sunday. It depends whether her knee can be like this for 1 hour. So if it can be, why, she'll be here. Cassie. Cassie's returning to England tomorrow, and so we will want to pray for good and safe travels. And the airport's open, so she gets to go on time. I'm surprised she's not backed up for 2 months. Is it on time?
We don't know.
You don't know. Okay. So whenever we travel, we want to remember those who are traveling for God's presence and safety. Let's join our hearts together as we pray. Lord, help us to turn our eyes upon you this day. Give us strength and the hope that we need for every challenge. Help us to face every challenge with courage because of our faith in you. May our lives reflect your glory and not our own. Give us each day the wisdom we need to see which things are important and which things are not. Show us how best to use the time and talents you have given us. Help us to use all of our opportunities wisely, that we may share through service to others the good gifts we have received from you. Show us how to live lives of humility. May our life's desire be that you be known, honored, loved, and exalted in all of our thoughts and actions. Creator God, we pray for peace in our world. May all the nations that suffer war and violence and injustice find peace and reconciliation. We pray for the leaders of the world, that their work may be in the service of a wonderful peace that may come. We pray particularly for peace in Palestine, Israel, Gaza, Sudan, Ukraine. And we pray for peace and healing for those in our hearts listed here, named today, and others in our hearts that are unnamed but before you. For those who are unwell, for those who are in pain, for those who are emotionally stressed or depressed, And we pray for them, your bountiful spirit. We lift them up before you. Gracious God, as we go forth from this day of worship, help us always to remember that you will do infinitely more than we could ever ask or imagine. Hear our prayers for all of your creation and gather us in the embrace of your abundant and life-giving spirit as we seek to serve you faithfully in all of the days allotted to us. Until that day when you bring us to the everlasting joy and to the table of blessing, where every voice will sing your praises and witness to your glory, world without end. Hear our prayers, we bring them in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught his people to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We join together to praise the Lord in music and song, standing if able and joining voices together. Seated, and we join together with others and everyone bringing our gifts this day. riches are without number and measure. From your bounty, we bring these gifts for the blessing of the world in the name and ministry of Christ, for the work of your people in the church here and beyond. We give in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first reading is from the book of Psalms 131, the first three verses. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. A reading of the word.
Thanks be to God. And somewhat of a companion piece to that, words from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the church that he loved the most, the church in Philippi. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Oh God, we are loved beyond what we could ever know. We are blessed beyond what we could ever measure. Open our hearts and minds to the fullness of your gifts, your blessing and goodness, as your word goes forth this day. Amen. Peggy read the Psalm this morning, 131. It's maybe the shortest. It's only three verses. But how sweet those words. The psalmist helps us to see how deeply he has placed his trust in God. And because of that, he can write, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I have stilled and quieted my soul. And then in another translation, I am content and at peace as a child in its mother's arms, quiet and at peace. What a sweet psalm. What a marvelous picture of what it means to be enveloped and held, never to be let go, in this love that created the universe and all that is, has come to each of us has wrapped itself around our lives in such a beautiful and marvelous, marvelous, sweet way. I am at peace. I am content because I am enveloped in this gift. What amazing, what sweet words. That theme, that theme of being enveloped and held and loved in such a marvelous way is in so many of our hymns. If you pay attention to the words that we sing in our hymns, it's there. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. And every change, he faithful will remain. This is at the core. This is at the center of the amazing gifts and blessings that are ours because of God's marvelous, great, and unyielding and unending love. And the good news, of course, is that we don't have to achieve anything. We don't have to struggle. We don't have to prove. We don't have to accomplish. This is grace. This is what God offers as free gift to us. So there's no struggle here. There's no saying, I'm not worthy enough, I'm not good enough, I haven't done enough. This is God's grace at work in every life, comes to us freely given and offered to everyone. How sweet, how wonderful such things are. Of course, we have to struggle in that, to keep and not to be led astray and pulled away from that. In the fourth century, the church of the fourth century made a list of various things that could rob us and take from us such gifts. And one of the words that they used for one of the things that could take away and steal away from us such beautiful gift is the word vainglory. We don't use that word very often. I've never heard it much used. The King James Bible uses the word vainglory, but none of the later translations use that word. Vainglory is a word that means empty glory. Vainglory is excessive needs of ours to possess, to take, to hold, to control, to be praised, to be lifted up, to be feted, to be made over. But on the other hand, we do need to be made over. I mean, there is a legitimate need that all of us have to be liked, to be wanted, to be accepted. There is a place for all of that. We all need to hear words. The job is finished and we couldn't have done it without you. We like to hear somebody say something like that to us once in a while. You really were important to this and you are appreciated because of your contribution made it happen. We like to hear that said once in a while to us. We like to hear once in a while someone say to us, you know, you're the best. whatever it is that we're best at, we like to hear such words. Had a person, a young man in my first church, and he owned his own small company. And when it came time for payday, for the paychecks to be given, he went individually, in person, to every person on the payroll, and he handed the check into their hands. And he held it there as they took it. And he said, "Thank you." He wanted me to understand, and how appropriately so, that the thank you wasn't meant to come from them. Thank you for giving me the check. No, it was just the opposite. Thank you for being a part of our work together. You make a difference. You make it happen. Thank you for what you do. We like words like that, don't we? We like to hear words. When I take my wife shopping at the supermarket, I told you she's the worst driver in the world. I don't know if I told you that. Don't, if you see her behind the wheel, just pull over. So I do most of the driving. I take her to the supermarket, and she opens the door, and she begins to go in to do the shopping, and every time, I say the same thing to her. Make somebody's day. And then when she gets back in to the car with the groceries, I say, "Did you make somebody's day today?" And often she will tell me a story. Somebody had a beautiful smile. Somebody went out of the way to help her find something. Some story of her saying the words, "Make somebody's day today." Vainglory is when, instead of wanting to give away, we want to be takers. We want not only to be special, but we want to be special in ways that leave other people out. We want to hog. We want to keep. We want to be the most important person in the room. Jonas Salk, the one that we give credit to conquering polio, it's reportedly, whether this is true or not, it's reportedly said of him that he never gave away any of the glory and the thank you and the recognition to all of those people who were working with him, and without which polio would never have been eradicated. All the work that they did, it is reported that Jonas Salk took all of the glory upon himself. That's what the Bible would call vainglory. Or maybe you've been at a dinner party in which you sat down with the host or hostess and whoever was gathered, and the host spent the whole evening talking about himself. How great his wine cellar was. How magnificent the wine that he had collected through the year. The trees around his house, and how wonderful what a blessing they were, and how beautiful. And his lineage. Why, his family went all the way back to the Mayflower, and on and on and on. We call that, if we have a word for it, vainglory. Someone who wants all of the attention and wants all of the applause, and for which other people are just instruments for his own agenda. I don't know if you know the fairy tale, The Emperor's New Clothes. It's actually most a fairy tale that adults like, maybe more than children. Hans Christian Andersen wrote it many, many years ago. There's a particular point of it where a line that most people like to quote in the middle of the fairy tale, but the beginning and the ending of the fairy tale have very important parts not to be missed. In the story of The Emperor's New Clothes, we are greeted with a king whose only interest in the world is his appearance, his clothes, that he would change clothes every hour. He was always calling for a new suit of clothes, always in front of the mirror, that he never gave a thought to his people. It was all about himself. And one day a couple flim-flam artists show up and they offer to make the emperor, the king, a very special set of clothes. The thing that makes these clothes special, they explained, was that anyone who is stupid or unfit for office would not be able to see the clothes. But if you were wise and strong and you had eyes to see, you would be able to see the clothes and you would see how beautiful they were. And so the two flim-flam artists, they went to work to make these non-clothes. They pretended they were at work. And after a while, they presented the new clothes to the emperor and they dressed him up in his non-clothes. And all of the royal court said, magnificent, unsurpassed, which made the king so very happy. And then the day came for a procession through the streets of the city. And he was dressed in his non-clothes. And the procession went through the streets. And all of the people said, oh, magnificent. Don't his clothes fit him perfectly? Until a child finally said, but he doesn't have anything on. Which broke the spell. And everyone then was able to say, he ain't got nothing on. And the king then realized that he didn't have anything on but his birthday suit. But he then said to himself, this is the last part, he said to himself, but the procession must go on. And the fairy tale ends by saying, and he marched on more proudly than before. See, there was nothing else to the king. He didn't have anything else. His whole nature was wrapped up in self-glorification. And he couldn't extricate. He couldn't release himself from his own lies and from his own need to be the most important one. Maybe those people in the fourth century had something. Vainglory is a thief and a robber. What we are called for, what we are called to be, is people who live in the gift. We are accepted and loved, and we can never be left out. We can never be left behind because we are held. And the only image that we ever have to be worried about, we never have to be worried about our image. The only image we ever have to care about is the image of God placed in every life. And our task and gift and honor is to let the image of God be shown and known. Johann Sebastian Bach and George Frideric Handel, two people who gave us some of the greatest music the world has ever known, would often write at the end of their composition, particularly if it was a sacred composition, both of them, they would write the initials S.D.G. Soli Deo Gloria. Glory of God alone. Write that down in your mind. And when you get up in the morning, write upon your life, this is to be my life today, to the glory of God alone. And when you put your head gently on the pillow at the end of the day, write upon your heart once again, to the glory of God alone. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for placing in our lives your breath and for fashioning us in your image. Help us to live each day, each breath, each moment to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We join together, closing our service by joining, if able, to standing, if able, but all of us, in singing our closing hymn together. Dear friends, go into the world with assurance, hope, and promise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ rest upon you. The love of God, creator and giver of life, embrace you. And the transforming power of the Holy Spirit uphold you this day and all your days.
Amen.
Amen.